Hello and welcome to Redefine, your home for news about parental school choice and education reform.
Well, Kathy, thank you so much for taking some time out to let me interview you today.
My pleasure.
All right. Well, you're the director of the Islamic Schools League of America. You're an associate with the American Center for School Choice, and you're a member of the new National Commission on Faith-Based Schools. So I thought, you know, kind of the obvious first question is, why do you support school choice, and why is school choice important to the Muslim community?
Well, parents have a choice in terms of how they want their child to educate and learn and grow and share. And we make decisions for our children for everything that we do in their lives. Education is very critical, and I think parents need to have that opportunity. In terms of Muslim families in particular, just as parents of other faith traditions, Muslim families want to instill certain morals and the core values of their faith in their children to reinforce what they're learning at home. Many families have two parents that are working. They struggle with the day-to-day, just like everyone else, and they find it increasingly challenging to teach a faith just on the weekends, per se, or in the evenings. So having a faith-based school that can reinforce their teachings is very important for Muslim families. So school choice provides us those opportunities to make those connections for our families and children.
School choice obviously has support from a pretty broad spectrum of people, and people all along that spectrum have different reasons for why they're supportive. But I wonder if school choice is especially important to the Muslim community right now. And, you know, I ask that because I imagine it's an especially sensitive time to be Muslim in America right now and to try to raise Muslim children in America right now. Is there anything to that? I mean, is school choice especially important right now for Muslims?
Well, I think school choice is important for everyone, and it's important for our country as a whole. But there clearly is, you know, current historical trends that would have a bigger impact for the Muslim community in regards to school choice. Mm-hmm. With the current climate of Islamophobia in the West, we find that Muslim children oftentimes, and their families for that matter, feel intimidated or afraid to openly practice their faith. So we find that some students in the public school setting will not tell their classmates or their friends or be openly Muslim, if you will, because they're afraid of having certain issues in terms of being called terrorists, because we hear that oftentimes in the public school sector, or being labeled. And it's very hurtful to hear these things, and so oftentimes they don't say anything. And this is challenging for any child, because now you have to play these two roles. You've got this duality going on, or at home, or in your faith tradition, community center, or wherever it is that you feel safe in terms of practicing your faith, you know, you can act, you know, Muslim. But then in the public sector, you've got to avoid seeming Muslim at any level. So this duality is very difficult for children. It's very unhealthy. And we need to help children reconcile how they can practice their faith and how that further solidifies their commitment as citizens of America. So praying and fasting and all those ideals that Muslims hold and want their children to uphold don't contradict any of the abiding laws of this country or prohibit living out the true American dream that we all want. So school choice is necessary for parents to have that option in helping children bridge those two worlds.
So perhaps being in a faith-based school would allow them to better deal with that duality that unfortunately is a part of life.
Correct. For especially the upcoming generations that, you know, post 9/11, the children that are coming into schools and currently in high schools and colleges, there's a lot of identity issues and there's a lot of confusion. And there's some kind of two, you know, polar ends here that they're struggling back and forth with. And Islamic schools have a tendency to provide them with a strong identity and teach them that you have the best of both worlds. And you can have the best of both worlds and actually teach them how to live that. So school choice is now critical for the parents who, say, can't afford, you know, the private school sector. And just like any other private school, well, we have to pay tuition and we have to make sure that we can cover our budgets. And so a lot of parents are struggling with trying to be able to afford that, especially if they're refugees and they're just coming from overseas and they don't have the same financial resources as most people don't.
Kathy, I hesitate to bring this next question up because, you know, I know these are sensitive issues, but unfortunately, it's part of the reality of what's going on, and I didn't want to avoid it. So last year, and probably, you know, before that too, but last year is when I started paying closer attention to school choice issues. there were certainly several examples, four or five at least that I can think of anti-Muslim sentiment that publicly came up in school choice debates. In Louisiana, there was one that was written about a lot where a state representative said she would have voted against the new voucher program had she known Muslim schools were also eligible. And then in Alabama, somebody posted Facebook ads that tried to link this proposal to start charter schools in Alabama to the possibility of Muslim charter schools. What do you think of incidents like that? How do they affect you?
Well, they are quite frustrating. I mean, quite frustrating to say the least. I think there's a lot of ignorance out there. And there are clear political fears in supporting school choice to include Islamic schools. You're more likely to be liked with an anti-Muslim sentiment today than to go against the current climate and stand up for equality for everyone. So if a politician was pro-school choice and was hesitant in terms of, well, okay, this is going to include Islamic schools, then, you know, I highly recommend, and this is, you know, something that I wish I could just get on the soapbox and just shout out top of my lungs, come on over and take a look at our schools. We encourage politicians, families, anyone who has any doubts or questions to visit Islamic schools, and there's well over 250 schools across the nation. You know, school choice is good for everyone, and we want our politicians and our families and our communities to come out to the schools and see what we're doing.
So let me make sure I'm hearing you straight on that. So you are inviting people to come out to your schools and check them out so they can see for themselves what's going on there?
Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely. And I bet you that local communities that have, for the Islamic schools that are very engaged in their communities, you know, those politicians or those families will not need to because they're already engaged in the community. We have in our local community here in Western New York, we have a collaborative with Family Court and social service agencies to keep families together. And they struggle with a lot of the refugee families here. And so we have this initiative that we've worked together, and so the school and social service agencies and family court and the judges, we visit each other's organizations. They've come here multiple times. We have a monthly meeting, and we talk about the issues, and we try to work together to try to help solve problems. So we're trying to be engaging and involved in the community to help being a true citizen of this country and trying to make America a better place. And so we want people to come out and take a look at what we got. I think they'd be happily surprised.
I think there's a lot to just knowing people. I mean, if you just meet people and interact with them, then, you know, you're less likely to project these abstract things that you've heard about them onto them. So it sounds like what you're doing by being involved with the community wears away at that because people meet you and know you and realize you're a normal person like everybody else, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And we have a tremendous experience with working with the local community in that regard. We benefit tremendously. It helps teach our children citizenship and those values. And so, it, you know, it's like a win-win for everyone. And so, you know, we hope that those who have fears or the naysayers in terms of Islamic schools and school choice would take an opportunity to get to know them first before they make that call.
Okay. Last year I did a podcast interview with Rabbi Moshe Matz, who's a big school choice supporter down here in Florida and a very nice guy on top of that. And I asked him about some of these statements involving anti-Muslim sentiment. And, you know, his response was, these are unfortunate and they're a distraction. And the bottom line really is the right of parents to school their children in the way they deem best. And he said, if we do that, we'll make society stronger, we'll make democracy stronger. What do you think of Rabbi Matz's take?
Oh, I agree with him 110%. He hit it on when he said this is just a distraction. It is a distraction from the current discourse. And as he said, it is a lack of education on the subject. And that people really don't fully understand the benefits and the effect of families and children in terms of school choice. You know, the faith-based communities are working together, and the commissions are working together, and they represent different faith communities. Mm-hmm. And they see that the positive impact will be good for everyone. And I think he hit it on when he talked about strengthening democratic values and having us help remove this ignorance that's out there that, you know, we are anti-democratic in any faith tradition, that this actually reinforces what we're trying to portray. We're trying to portray what our kids are actually doing. And I know there's a lot of studies and a lot of work being done now in terms of faith-based schools and the effect on citizenship in this country and character. You know, it's a qualitative research, but there's quite a bit going on at different universities across the nation. And I think the results will be very welcomed by the country as a whole, or we're hoping it will be.
Because you think it's going to show that faith-based schools help build character and citizenship?
Absolutely, okay. Absolutely. And we're already seeing that kids who graduate from faith-based schools have a tendency to volunteer more, to give more, mm-hmm. To be engaged more. So this is, people have to see numbers, and, let's look at the numbers, but it's there, and we're happy to share that.
Okay. Well, Kathy, I'd like to ask you a question out of the blue that is perhaps a function of my own ignorance about Islam and Muslims, and perhaps my own misleading stereotypes. So from what I understand, in America, many Muslim schools are headed by women. Is that right, and is that different from the situation in many Muslim countries, or is this just a stupid stereotype that I have?
Well, it's not a stupid stereotype at all. I will say this, and I don't have any solid numbers or statistics to share with you, but I will say that at our local conferences here in the States, we do see that the majority of administrators are women. Just in terms of just looking, I could see that. Oh, yeah, wait a minute. That makes sense because there are a lot of women at these conferences that I'm going to that represent Islamic schools. There are definitely men there, but clearly women are there are a lot more women administrators.
Okay.
In terms of Muslim countries, though, there is that perception that we have that most schools are run by men overseas.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that depends on the specific country and more or less related to the literacy rate that they have, the literacy rate for females. So, for example, in Egypt, where they have a high literacy rate for women, you'll find more female administrators there as opposed to a country with low female literacy rate. So I think it's related to more of a literacy rate in terms of women in those foreign countries. But clearly here in the United States, we do see a lot more women running schools.
So it has more to do with literacy rates as opposed to women's role in society in different Muslim countries? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Those two are connected, in terms of women's roles in society and the perception, the way people perceive that it should be in certain countries will limit their education in terms of women and literacy. So, for example, for countries as anti, women being involved in the civics and involved in engaging society at community levels, then obviously their opportunities for education will also be limited.
Okay. Well, so it sounds
like...
Sense? Yeah, yes, it does. So I guess the answer is complex and nuanced, and there's a lot of diversity here, which is maybe the lesson for the day. Well, Kathy, this was great. I really appreciate you taking time out to talk with me about this stuff. I know some of these things are sensitive, and I appreciate you answering them straight on. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ron. I appreciate it.